We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's dangerous. It's dangerous.
Everybody come to the Breakfast Club. I call this the hot seat.
Y'all are wild. Can I live?
You are out of control. I can't even deal with you.
Y'all are so petty. Why are y'all so petty?
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Captain of this bitch.
Angela Yee.
I stay in everybody's business, but in a good way.
Charlamagne the God.
The ruler of rubbing you the wrong way.
The Breakfast Club.
Ain't for everybody.
Yo.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Monday.
It's Monday, back to the work week.
And only on The Breakfast Club do you walk in and the first story you hear is your cameraman telling you how he almost got into a fight with a crackhead this morning.
Over a cigarette.
Because the crackhead asked him to get a hit and he wouldn't give the crackhead a hit.
Wait, a full cigarette? He just wanted a little smoke from you?
Well, they asked for a cigarette first. The alleged crackhead asked for a cigarette first, and yeah, our cameraman said he had none left. So let me just get a pull. You know, let me get a pull.
She just wanted a hit.
And he said no, and they got into an argument.
He was like, I almost punched her in the face. Oh, wow.
It was a woman?
Yes.
A black woman.
This guy, man.
Wow.
I don't even know how to feel about it. That's not what I want to hear on a Monday morning. No. I'm not ready for this. I just got out the car. I was listening to Dr. Phil's podcast with Shaquille O'Neal. My energy is different. I don't want to walk in here and hear these kind of stories.
My goodness.
It's not what I'm into.
Well, you want to get scared a little bit?
No, I don't.
So Friday morning, they took my daughter to school, and the school called and said, you know, you should really pick her up because she's sleeping more than usual, and she usually doesn't nap like this, my 2-year-old. So I said, okay. We picked her up and, you know, took her. I'm always nervous if I hear anything. Take her right to the doctor. And it was like her stool is a little darker than usual. Took her right to the doctor.
Stool meaning feces.
They know what stool means. Poop.
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 My 3-year-old calls it poop.
Poop.
Yes.
So when I got to the doctor said, oh, you know what it is? She's just coming off the flu. She had the flu. And nobody knew. We couldn't tell her. We just thought it was a regular cold. And she was coming off the flu. So make sure you stay, keep her home, give her a lot of fluids, make sure she has a lot of food. So you know me being nervous like I always am, I made sure I was with her 24-7 for the last 3 days to make sure she's good.
A kid
just died in Jersey over the flu.
Really?
Yes.
So. Don't tell me that. I don't need to hear that. That stuff like that makes my anxiety go.
So if your children are sick or tired a lot and they're young children, just take them to the hospital. Double check. It might not be a cold. Could be a flu, but she's doing much better now.
Well, that sounds like a very active weekend.
Yeah. And drop on the clues bombs for health insurance. That's how you know we are the generation that is doing better than their parents, because I come from the era that would have just been some tussin. You'd have to take this tussin.
Yeah.
All right? And drink some orange juice and some ginger ale. Why was ginger ale the cure for every goddamn thing?
Still is.
I think it's because it has ginger in it. And ginger is really good for like your stomach, but that's not real ginger. So
no, it's
if
not.
If you ever have an issue, real ginger is a great thing to do, like a ginger shot.
Well, thank you. Thank God we are the generation that has health insurance.
My goodness.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you, God.
My birthday season is halfway over because it's like the 14th, and I had a birthday party on Friday. That was really, really fun. I'm still recovering. I stayed in bed all day Saturday.
Since
did
Friday?
You drink ginger ale on Saturday?
I did have a ginger shot. But and then it was my friend L'Oreal's birthday yesterday.
L'Oreal. Oh, so happy born day, L'Oreal.
Like a whole weekend of activities, but yes.
And today is actually YN's birthday, too.
Who is YN?
Elliot Wilson.
Drop on the clues bomb for Elliot.
You know what? Elliot Wilson sent me a picture, a throwback picture of me and him, and he put Capricorn season.
Well, the thing
you're
about
rich
Elliot,
now.
The thing about Elliot's throwback pictures, he still looks the same age 20 years ago.
I'm going to put it in my Instagram story. Okay.
Is that a good thing? Is that younger?
I mean, he's been looking old.
That's why I
drop on the clues bomb for YN. But you know YN?
Everybody was doing that 10-year challenge all weekend.
Isn't he from Queens?
He is from Queens.
Let me post this.
Well, his birthday don't count today because today is LL Cool J's
birthday. It is LL Cool J's birthday as well.
What the hell is the 10-year challenge?
You didn't see? Oh, it was all over social media. Everybody was posting pictures from 10 years ago and then a current picture. So they were showing what they look like.
How you look back then and how you look now.
Oh, got you. So I would have had to post something with skin discoloration.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
Absolutely.
They're still doing it? I might participate today.
You were a little bigger back then, too.
I was like 205, 210. I got my life together. So what you saying now?
I ain't saying nothing now.
Sound like a little lean?
I said you was a chubster before. You ain't got to stand up now.
Got a little European cut jeans art meets chaos. Stomach a little flat. I mean, I gained a little bit over vacation, just a little bit, you know what I'm saying? But that's been burning off easy because there ain't nothing but alcohol.
Kevin Hart will be joining us this morning.
Another lean cancer.
Yes, we'll kick it with Kevin Hart.
Okay.
He has the number one movie in the country.
Steve, you almost tripped because you tried to fight that crackhead.
Steve just threw my coat on the floor.
Steve just almost fell. Y'all ain't see that behind
the goodness.
Well, maybe you did if you're watching Revolt.
Kevin Hart will be joining us. We'll kick it with him in a little bit.
Upside is the number one movie in the country this week.
So we'll talk to Kevin Hart. So don't move. Get your ass up. It's a Monday. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Now we are the Breakfast Club. Let's get some front page news. Let's talk NFL scores.
Why would you talk about this sport that is oppressing our people?
Kansas City Chiefs beat the Colts 31-13. The Rams destroyed the Cowboys. Made them look like little boys on that field. Ooh, Cowboys were horrible. Did you watch the game, children?
Nah, I'm with Cap.
Now you with Cap. Well, they lost 30-22. The Patriots beat the Chargers 41-28. Watched them. And the Eagles, oh my gosh, so poor Eagle fans, man. The Eagles lost to the Saints 20-14. Horrible.
Good game. I heard.
No, now you saw, you heard. Did you see or did you hear?
No, I did. I watched all. I was all into the NFL this weekend, but that was a good game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Philly started off red hot.
Red hot. 14-0 in the first half.
Yeah, and they just...
Horrible. Yeah.
Didn't end well.
All right. What else are we talking about, Yee?
Let's talk about a passenger got a firearm through TSA screening in Atlanta.
Got a what?
A firearm.
Through the screen? He got it through?
Drop one clues bomb for all the TSA workers who ain't working because it's a government shutdown, baby.
Well, this happened on January 3rd. The person was flying from Atlanta to Tokyo. And they are saying that there were standard procedures that were not followed, and that's how the passenger managed to get that firearm through.
It wasn't because
of TSA not having the normal amount of people. They're saying it wasn't because of that. It was because people did not follow procedures. They said actually most people were there working that day.
I mean, let's be clear. If you're not getting paid because it's a government shutdown, are you really working? Are you just showing up?
Yeah, how'd they get it through then?
Because they're not really working.
Well, they said
and
the people that are responsible will actually... You know, they'll have to be investigated and everything. So I don't know what happened. They haven't released that information.
How do you get caught?
Isn't that kind of like firing me on my day off, though, since I'm not getting paid?
It is.
Like, you're firing me, but we're not getting paid anyway. Wouldn't that be kind of stupid?
On the bright side of things, if you go to the airport, like at JFK, you can hear music that you normally wouldn't hear playing over the loudspeakers. They're playing things like Sicko Mode and some Kanye West music because there's not enough people working, so people are just doing what they want inside of the terminals.
And that's exactly why people are getting through with guns.
My goodness.
Now, in other news, in Houston and in Miami, they had to actually close some security checkpoints because there's not enough TSA officers. So Miami and Houston both had to shut one of their terminals over the weekend. I know in Miami, they gave advance notice on Friday. They said Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, that terminal would be closed because they didn't have enough workers. They actually planned that in advance just to be on the safe side of things.
I'm not mad. Listen, dropping the clues bombs for all the TSA workers doing what
they
want.
You're not mad. There's a lot of people that stranded, couldn't get home to their families.
Well, Donald Trump need to pay these people then. Unshut the government.
My goodness.
Or open the government.
All right.
All right.
Whatever you call it.
That's front page
news.
Government's
been shut down since December 22nd.
Okay. Santa Claus don't work for the government, do it? Did he come?
No. Yeah, he did come.
Okay.
All right. All right, well, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night or horrible weekend and you just need to vent. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Let's go.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're man or black.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello?
Hey, what up, though?
What up, though?
What up, though?
Get it off your chest.
Man, so look, this government shutdown is not only hurting, you know, the 800,000 federal workers, but it's also hurting the contractors. It's affecting people's food stamps. I know in Indiana or whatever, I saw it on Good Morning America that some people couldn't use their food stamps because of the government shutdown. So we need to write Congress. We need to write senators, you know, not just your local senator, but we need to write everybody. You know, just, hey, we need to end this right now. This is hurting a lot of people.
Yeah, I definitely heard people ain't getting their 194 no more.
Hello, who's this?
This is Anthony.
Anthony, get it off your chest.
Hey, I just wanted to call to, you know, kind of give everybody kind of a little bit of advice to, you know, for parents to stay in your kids' lives no matter what, because, you know, if you leave your kids' lives, it messes up your kids' life. And, you
no
know,
kidding.
We're trying to stop these R. Kelly situations. So if you have both your mother and your father in your life, then it makes it harder for these predators to kind of, you know, go after these young kids because you have somebody that can stand up for you.
Absolutely.
Stay in your kids' lives, parents.
Stay in your kids' lives.
Thank you. What else you want to tell us? To drink water this morning, too?
Drink water's good.
You know what I mean?
Workout, exercise. Yeah,
it seems like we have to face kind of stuff like this as obvious because people don't do it.
You know what, though? You know what? He got a point, though. All of the common sense stuff that people should be doing, they're really not doing. It's the same that we have to say these things, but you do have to say these things.
You're right. Look both ways when you cross the street.
You got to remind people of the basics.
Also hold people accountable who are predators instead of supporting their music. How about that?
Exactly. All these predators need to get super socked by somebody. Somebody needs to come to super sock all these predators.
What is super sock?
What's super sock?
Super sock sounds like something a predator would do. What is that?
Yeah, super sock, you know, you can punch somebody, but then when you punch somebody and they never do what they did, you keep punching the place.
You play too much video games, bro.
Yeah, well, but hey, DJ Envy, you're one of the best DJs in this country.
Oh, now I like you, man.
That is not true.
Hey, now you're friends.
Another thing we have to start doing as a society is telling the truth.
Now, this guy, I like this guy. This guy's telling the truth.
DJ Envy, he breaks all music, and DJ Envy, he plays all the best songs.
That is not true.
I like this guy. Keep going.
He's requesting callers.
No, he does not. Okay. Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
You got to stop right there.
No, he's good.
Make your request right now. Let's see if he gets on. What's your request?
Mozzie, not impressive. I'm from California.
That's not. Okay.
All right, let's see if
wait
he takes
for it.
Request.
Matter of fact, wait for it all week. All right? Matter of fact, wait for it for the rest of the month. All right? Matter of fact, wait for it for the rest of the year.
All right.
When you hear that song, call me and tell me. Okay?
Goodness Knock gracious. It off. He was spitting some real ish, man. Hello, who's this?
Good morning, it's Nicole.
Hey, Nicole, get it off your chest, Nicole.
I'm so mad. So my New Year's resolution was to get to work on time. Because last year, you know, I just showed up.
That was Charlamagne's too.
I show up when I show up.
Getting to work on time is overrated, boo.
Okay, so I was doing fine. Now, out across the bridge, they're doing construction. So now it takes me a trip that took me 15 minutes. Takes me an hour to an hour and a half.
Woo!
Now, how you expect me to be at work on time?
Leave early?
Leave earlier, yeah. I mean...
I already got to work at 6:30. So me, I used to leave at 6 to get to work on time. So now I got to leave at 5. To maybe be on time.
Well, you better leave at 5 then.
I ain't gonna lie, but you just made me yawn thinking about getting to work on time.
My goodness.
It's so hard. I just
get your ass up early. Go to sleep early. Yeah. Go to sleep.
I'm actually putting on my jacket right now.
That's one of the secrets to being successful is to be on time. And they say when you're on time, you're late.
I know. I try to because, you know, I ain't that many, you know, black folks in the office. So I try to get there because they know when I'm not there.
Well, represent for us. Go in there and represent for us, okay?
You're the only black person in there and you late. They know when you're not there.
Yes, you're right. They do know. And I be, like, dipping off. They know it. I'd be dipping off.
You're going to get fired.
So you be late and you be dipping
you
off.
Leave.
I hope they don't fire. They shouldn't fire me.
Yes, they should. You better get your goodbye. Get your ass to work.
Sounds to me like this relationship ain't going to last, boo.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Get it. Pick up the mother phone and dial.
Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Stephanie!
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Get it off your chest.
I want to tell you guys how blessed I am. I can't believe I got through. I've been calling you guys since October.
That's a blessing.
Tell us.
Yes. Well, first of all, I got fired November 1st. November 2nd, I ended up getting an opportunity and of a lifetime. In July, I published a book called I Am Listening.
Mm-hmm.
It's about having a conversation with your parents about sexual trauma.
Oh, so you mean like when people that molested you when you was young?
Absolutely. It's amazing. I'm so happy I got through, especially with all the R. Kelly stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very important for parents to have this conversation with their children.
You know, what's your name so we can see this book? It's called Are You Listening? And your name is what?
No, it's called I Am Listening.
Oh, I Am Listening. Okay.
Yes, and my name is Stephanie Alert.
Okay, we got to look that up.
All right, thank you, mama.
Yes, thank you for having me.
All right, man. G, what's up, G?
Yo, what's good, Breakfast Club?
What's up with you, man? Get it off your chest.
Just want to say welcome back. We missed you guys. Seems like you guys were gone for a long time.
3 weeks, that's all.
Shout out to Nori Drink Chaps, though. Lit.
Oh. To my dude, N-O-R-E.
Shout out to Nori.
Shout out to Nori. He came to my birthday party on Friday.
And Charlamagne, I know you got to drop an exclusive ball from your boy, Lil Duval.
Oh, you want to hear that pull-up?
Man, that is hot. I even had that song on repeat all weekend.
Envy, can you play pull-up this morning?
Uh-oh.
Yes, I will play pull-up this morning.
All right. Envy said he's going to play pull-up this morning. That is a request that he'll definitely get on.
Cool, cool. Lil Duval out here making hits like he's been here before.
He has been here before.
Oh, my goodness.
Y'all act like Duval ain't 42 years old.
Goodbye.
Okay.
Brisha!
What up, though?
Brisha, do you love me? Detroit's on the phone line. Heavy. What's up, mama?
What up, though? How y'all doing?
Good, good, good. Get it off your chest.
I just want to express some positivity.
Go ahead.
I'm blessed. I just dropped a video a couple days ago. It's doing good, and I'm blessed. That's all I got for today.
Tell us
what it is so we can look it up.
It's called Feeling Good. Brisha Price was Feeling Good. Look it up.
Okay. Do we follow you yet?
No, you ain't follow me. I'm still waiting on that. Come on, yeah. I know you got love for the B. Let me get that follow back.
Okay. That's a fact.
You're not even going to pause that.
Whoa. That is a fact.
All right.
Pause.
All right. Kinky on a Monday. Thank you, mama. Hey, what's your name, bro?
It's Jude. I'm just confused. Why you guys have so
what's
much
your name?
Hate for R. Kelly? It's Jude. Jude.
Okay.
I just want to know why you guys have so much hate for R. Kelly, man. The guy hasn't been to the court system to get proven guilty. You guys over here, you know, making it a big deal. Like, it's 10 years ago, and now they want to go to lifetime.
So it's big deal that he married Aaliyah and had sex with her when she was 14, 15.
Hey, that's
not a big deal.
I'm not saying that's not you know, that's right, but I'm just saying.
You're not saying
why wait for a lifetime? Why wait for a lifetime to offer you an opportunity? Why didn't you go to the police to begin with?
Why didn't I go to the police?
Because I was 14 at the time. That's why I didn't go.
To the victims. Why you wait till Lifetime offers you
people
an
actually,
interview to report
it? People actually did go to the police. Actually, one of the women was one of the first people that came forward 10 years ago, and she was in court, and she did speak to the judge.
And he was found innocent, right?
Do you know, no, he was not found innocent. Do you know what happened? Did you watch the documentary?
Don't let me get at you, man.
You can get at me.
We all know about you.
What do you know about me?
It's all over. You're not a saint yourself.
And so you believe it about me, but you don't believe it about R. Kelly. Okay.
I'm not saying I don't believe it. I'm just saying that it makes no sense that 10 years ago and now you want to go to Lifetime and you never went to the police.
Here's the thing. I don't argue with fools because people from a distance can't tell who's who. So I don't even know why you're still on the phone.
Yeah, and you're the reason why a lot of women don't come out when they are assaulted. But thank you, sir. Have a great day.
When Lifetime offers something, they come, right?
This guy's a
but why are y'all going back and forth
right.
with this?
You absolutely right.
Like, it's 2019. Don't go back and forth with these niggas.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up at any time. Now, we got rumors on the way.
Ooh, well, you're going to love all of these movie news that I have for you today. Okay, we're going to talk about a possible sequel that's going to be happening that I'm very excited about. Also, Master P talks about one of his deals that he has. And, of course, we'll discuss Kevin Hart, who's going to be here today, and his movie.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Spilling the tea.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, looks like there is going to be a Coming to America sequel. Eddie Murphy did confirm on Friday that it's happening. He said, after many years of anticipation, I'm thrilled that Coming to America 2 is officially moving forward. We've assembled a great team that will be led by Craig Brewer, who just did an amazing job on Dolemite. And I'm looking forward to bringing all these classic and beloved characters back to the big screen. So he is going to do his role as African Prince Akeem. He went to Queens 3 decades ago. He was looking for his queen, as you all know. In the sequel, he's going to be looking for his son. Now, Blackish creator Kenya Barris is the person who is actually writing the script as well.
That's what I heard. I heard that he had an illegitimate child 30 really? Years ago when he came. Well, not illegitimate because he wasn't married, but when he was out here doing his little dating thing, really? He shot somebody club up, and now he got a son out here, and now the son is coming back to Zamunda.
I'm excited about that. That's my favorite movie of all time, and I'm excited about
it. I like it because, you know, now these kids will know what I'm talking about when I ask them, would you rather be in Wakanda or Zamunda? Because that's really a question you can only ask somebody 40 and up. Because only we understand that.
Another great part of that movie was the scoring of it and the music that was in it.
Oh, yes.
Shout out to Nile Rodgers. So I hope they bring him back because he scored the original as well.
But question, where would y'all rather live, Wakanda or Zamunda?
I don't know what Zamunda really looked like.
But see, I look at Wakanda as New York. Like, you'd work in Wakanda, but Zamunda would be Jersey. So you live in Jersey. You know what I'm saying?
I kind of like Zamunda.
All right, yeah. Well, congratulations to Master P. He tweeted out today, we made history, signed one of the biggest deals with Lionsgate for the Master P biopic, King of the South, Ice Cream Man. Here's what he had to say.
Today is a big day for us, man. God is good. Just signed the biggest deal. Look all this work, man. It took like a year. King of the South coming down to Lionsgate. Biggest deal. A hip-hop artist still alive. Being able to be thought Straight Outta Compton was big, man. This is about to be one of the biggest movies next year.
Well, finally, dropping the clues bombs for that.
That's great.
Okay. He also shouted out Lil J, Uncle Luke, and Tony Draper, the kings he said that came before him. Tiger Williams wrote the script to Menace to Society. So there you go.
I'm in that movie.
All right. You're the uncle, right? Or something like that?
I'm the guy who finds Master P after he gets shot.
All right, now Aquaman has made $1 billion. They're making box office history with that. It's the first DC Comics film to surpass over $1 billion since The Dark Knight Rises. That was back in 2012, and they said it's on track to be the top grossing movie in DC history. Did you guys see that?
No. As a Marvel head, you know, it's just very hard for me to go spend my hard-earned money on DC movies. Okay, but I may or may not go see Aquaman. I'm not sure yet.
All right, and Kevin Hart's movie, The Upside, actually beat Aquaman. That Upside is the number one movie. Aquaman, I guess, has been number one for like the past, 3 weeks? So now The Upside has unseated that number one spot. So congratulations. Kevin Hart is going to be with us today, and he stars in The Upside also alongside Bryan Cranston. Nicole Kidman's in the movie. I saw it. It was a great movie. So you guys have a chance to see that. It made over almost $20 million over the weekend.
We're dropping the clues bombs with Kevin Hart. He'll be here in 5 minutes.
Yeah, less than five minutes.
Mm-hmm. And just so y'all know, everybody that is using someone else's Netflix account, that might all come to an end. They have a new software that they're doing for all these streaming services to make sure that you can't share your account with non-paying friends. So you have to get one of those premium accounts to be able to share your account with other people.
That's whack. That's part of the Netflix experience.
Nearly 26% of millennials share their Netflix credentials. So I guess they're losing money.
That's what you do with your friends. That's how you know you got real friends.
Shout out to Janae.
Well, that's real friends.
And my brother.
Let their friends hold their Netflix password.
All right, and get ready for the Super Bowl halftime show. See if you're interested. You know Maroon 5 is already the ones that are headlining, but they have confirmed they'll be joined by Travis Scott and Big Boi for the halftime show. Now, Travis Scott is requiring that the NFL actually donate to a social justice cause. They're going to be donating to Dream Corps, and that nonprofit is a social justice accelerator, which backs initiatives that close prison doors and open doors of opportunity for all. So that's part of what he is requiring.
Big Boi from Outkast?
Yes.
Okay, I can see Big Boi wearing a Colin Kaepernick jersey, taking a knee on the stage. Mm-hmm. I can see Big Boi making a stand in some way.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Missy. Now, when we come back, Kevin Hart will be joining us, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Our guy,
Kevin Hart.
In the building.
Let me start off by saying,
you, Kevin.
Damn.
Whoa.
Why you cuss Kevin Hart?
You bought all your friends' cars, and all my friends were showing me pictures of all their, like, you see how Kevin really loves his people?
You bought all your friends' cars?
Yeah, you didn't see that?
He bought all of his friends' cars. Every last one of them.
But why do you care, Envy?
I love my
You're not his friend.
Because all my friends are like, you don't care about me like Kevin cares about his friends.
How many friends?
I mean, that's a factual statement. I don't know why you would be upset with me. You know, everybody,
so
maybe people
car?
Love different.
You would get a car.
Naeem.
The whole team.
Wayne.
Everybody.
The whole team. Damn, Kev.
It was a tour gift. We finished the tour.
That was
you know
dope.
What the backlash from that is, though? Do other people say, how come I didn't get a car?
Yeah, it got to be some people on your team that was kind of bad, kind of salty.
I'm part
people
of the
that
team.
Didn't make sense. Like, you know, the nanny.
But if you never had a, if you haven't had a red plastic cup in the past 10 years.
I probably, like old schools. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Yeah, you know, old school. No, look, it was a nice gesture, yeah. But I'm big on friendship. I think, you know, those guys have a lot to do with where I am today. So showing my level of appreciation when I can is a must. And it's something that floored them. I haven't seen them that emotional. Like, yo, when I say crying,
they
like
they're excited.
No, crying.
Really?
Who cried the hardest?
John had me rolling. John,
really?
John, man, you got me f***ed up out here. Light skin, so he was red, eyes was all. Spank broke down a little bit.
Aww,
Naeem, everybody, it was a good moment.
Good.
It was dope.
You know what? I was seeing how hard Kevin Hart works. I went to go see the new movie that you're in that's out right now.
Thank you.
Upside.
You.
And so we were waiting to go out there. I was actually just introducing him. It was a surprise that he was there for the audience. And he had to take a little catnap. I felt so bad. He just had an espresso. Yeah. He's been working hard. He fell asleep. And then they were like, okay, time for pictures. He just popped back up. All right, ready. It's hump day. I was like, it's actually nap. Thursday.
Yeah. I didn't even know what day it was. I got up saying, hump day. All right. Guess what day it is. She was like, it's Thursday. I was like, ain't this a bitch? All right. Let's get it together then. Let's go. No, them catnaps are important, man. But, you know, look. These are the moments where you got to go the hardest, especially when you're on promo tour. I mean, it's nonstop, especially for me. I fill that day up with endless amounts of promo interviews, and this promo tour has probably been one of the most draining that I've done.
Because they want to talk about everything except
for
the movie.
They want to just keep on, you know, dragging this Oscars thing out. So, you know, you got to try to be as patient as you can and smile, be the nice guy, and just shut down.
You keep saying you're not going to talk about it, but every time I see you, it seems like you're talking about it.
It's because you can't. It's not that you're talking about it. You got to understand. Here's what people fail to realize. Media makes things look so f***ing big.
Yeah.
So if you go, yo, you're not talking about it. You did 5 interviews earlier that day.
Mm. Not a headline.
But then
Kevin
the headlines from all of these 5 things
hit
at the same time.
Right.
Kevin Hart says he ain't talking about it. And that's why I choose not to talk about it, because whatever you say, it's a headline that's going to say something else, and it just lives.
And
so
now we're talking about it.
You're on promo. I'm on promo tours. People are like, well, why are you doing the promo run? Because I got a f***ing movie that's in theaters.
They got out to surprise the audience. They started screaming out, host the Oscars. Why did not? I'm like,
do it, Kev. Do it, man. This shit is taking my celebrity to another level. I'm talking like walking in the street, you just hear people in the car. Do it, man. Meet me. Come on, Kev. Host the Oscars, man. You can do it. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you, man.
So you're not going to do it?
I'm not talking about this shit any goddamn more.
So, but what is the greatest lesson you've learned? Let's look for the silver lining, I guess. What's the greatest lesson you've
learned? There is no lesson. People keep asking me about a f***ing lesson.
It's just unfortunate.
There's no lesson. The lesson was learned 10 years ago when it stopped.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is you're in this new movie, The Upside, and you have such a different type of role, and it's so interesting.
What's crazy is that the movie goes hand in hand with what the f*** is going on in my life.
They're saying that. It's an Oscar-worthy role for you.
Listen.
You could have been hosting yourself.
here's what's crazy about the movie. The movie is about accepting change, accepting growth. I swear to God. The movie is about understanding an individual after you get to know the individual.
Right.
White, rich, gotta be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Black, ex-con, gotta be a criminal forever. And and until they get in depth about one another and understand why they feel the way that they feel, they're not able to help. It's taking people and putting people in a position where they can evolve.
Right.
And in today's time, you forget that people do change. When do we forget f***ing oops? Mm-hmm. I think we need to go backwards a little bit.
No, because, that's the problem
no,
now.
No, when I say backwards a little bit, I'm saying to remember that this wasn't always the way of the world.
And the culture shift.
Right. Perfect.
Put it into
perfect.
Context.
Absolutely. No,
like,
it's like
have
some
to
perfect.
Be in context. Mm-hmm. You have to put things in context of when it happened, what the world was like at that time.
Why do we have to?
What our sensitivities were.
I just don't understand why we even have to explain that. Right. Why that isn't common sense? Well, that's not, the part that I don't understand.
Not to give any spoilers, but Kevin Hart is playing with a penis in the movie.
You're playing with
not
a penis?
I'm not
playing. It's not yes, your penis.
You're
I'm
not
playing with a penis. I'm a caretaker in the movie.
Oh. Okay. So you play with the guy's penis.
Let me be careful the way I say this.
By the way, I would like to say a homophobic person would never play that role.
Let me see something. Okay. Mm-hmm. I am a caretaker in the movie, and as a caretaker, my job is to handle Bryan Cranston's character Phil, who is a quadriplegic.
You gave him a bag.
And no, in this particular scene, he needed this catheter changed. And you know, this is a guy that's just—I'm not qualified for the job. So, you know, to do it, he has to talk me through it. And it's a funny scene, but it's an uncomfortable scene for my character Dell, not for me as a person, because I understand.
Well, did you have to practice to learn that part?
We actually did. I actually had to work with a real caretaker. We spent time with a real caretaker. Mm-hmm. Bryan spent time with people who were quadriplegic. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to make sure that we went as in-depth as we possibly could to bring light and awareness to people that are in this position and that work in this world.
You wouldn't even think about all the things that you would have to do for somebody that's quadriplegic.
The fact that it's a true story... Mm-hmm. is mind-blowing. And what's crazy is that the guy Phil is filthy rich, and thinking that money solves everything is just the wrong perspective, because this is a guy who would take all that money and give it away to move his thumb.
So you didn't touch a penis in this movie?
Well, I don't understand why we hung up. It's acting.
That's all you got out of this?
That was a good selling point.
He's being serious, and that's all you got out of this?
It's acting.
So, oh, okay.
So, you know,
it's like a catheter. You had to squeeze the head,
okay,
right?
Well, first of all, what we had, let's just clear this up right
now. Because he said it in the movie.
On the acting day, just for you guys to know, it was a prop. It was just a piece. It was a piece of
penis.
Wood.
Oh, a piece
it's
of wood. Okay.
And it just goes
Please
up.
Don't. Stop doing that with your hand.
Well, no. Because I'm telling you, because somebody pulls a string. And that's how it went up. Bryan had. So
what'd you do with the wood?
Here's what I want you guys to understand. I want you guys to understand two things. One, God is real.
Right.
Two. The sun is going to shine every morning regardless of how you feel and what you want, okay? It's a good movie, though, man.
It's
a good movie. I'm happy that this was my movie that I chose to take that first step into that dramatic side of acting. I mean,
but still very funny at the same time.
It is. It has a lot of good personal moments. Comedy. It's just it's a grounded, real performance.
All right, we got more with Kevin Hart. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're kicking it with Kevin Hart. Charlamagne?
Is the current cultural climate that's making it difficult for comedians driving you to drama, Kev?
No, but the climate is getting a little fucked up.
Yeah.
We're forgetting the job of a comedian. A comedian's job is to say what others think. Granted, some stuff is offensive. Some stuff can be way too aggressive. And there was a time and period when that was the case. People who didn't like that just didn't watch it. And now I feel like there's a new thing where people that don't necessarily like certain comments made by certain comedians bring a whole lot of light and of attention to that comedian, but you never supported that comedian in the first place.
Right.
So I don't know why people are so afraid to just go, I don't f-ing like you. We need to get back to a place where people realize if things are distasteful, it means it's not for you, but there is an audience for it. But at the same time, as comedians, we should also be aware of the level of sensitivity and be understanding to the communities and the races and ethnicities that are now stepping up and speaking on what they like and don't like. It's our job to walk a line, and if you choose to sway it, that's your personal choice as a comedian. Me personally, I don't have to tiptoe anymore because I can be funny without being disrespectful.
You know, there was a couple of years ago, your house got broken into and they stole a lot of your valuable stuff.
And I've been seeing a lot of people been getting caught, and they've been returning a lot of people's stuff. I know, I think Usher, they got some Usher stuff returned it to them. Did they ever find any of your things?
I ain't got back. I ain't got a goddamn thing back.
Nothing at all.
They got some good for me, too. I ain't got nothing back.
Nothing at all.
I got a high security bill. That's what I got down. That's what I have now.
You ever been out and seen somebody with something on, and you was like, you know what? That looked like it possibly could have been mine.
I seen some kids in some dope jackets that I thought could have came from my household. Some tailored leather jackets that I turned around, and I was like, you're a little too young to know where that jacket came from. It looked like my Saint Laurent jacket. Yeah. No,
they took clothes too?
They took clothes. They took everything when they got a mine.
You didn't have a security system?
Security system? What is, so?
Right.
What is that?
Everyone does.
Who doesn't have a security system? You think criminals can't get past the security system?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what a mask is for. That's what the whole the title of being experienced. So now I have personnel.
How many watches do you have now?
Since that's I know none of your goddamn business.
You say you always buy yourself a watch.
I don't know what I have. I don't know what I have.
Do you have more than Floyd Mayweather?
I don't know what I have. I don't know what I have. Okay, people tend to look at my wrist from time to time. That's on them. More here for me. And I don't know how many sneakers I have. I don't know how many cars or homes I have. As far as you're concerned, I don't have a goddamn thing. I don't have a goddamn thing.
You brought up something earlier, right?
What's that?
Why are we not discussing the fact that culture shifted a lot? Like the way we talk, the way we joke, the things we joked about. Like, shouldn't that change in culture matter?
Here's the real thing that people fail to realize. You're a product of your environment.
Mm.
North Philadelphia, born and raised.
My dad,
I almost actually didn't said the whole song. What are you raised on? You're raised on Pryor. You're raised on Murphy, Red Fox, Bernie Mac, your father, your uncles, your cousins.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's around you. What words are being used and thrown around that you guys say in comfort? When you are in that environment, that's all you do. So when you step out that environment, you're taking that behavior with you. It's not till you step out of that comfortable environment and you see how other people act that you go, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Let me shut up, man. You say I shouldn't say what? Why? Oh, for real?
Yeah.
I had no idea because from where I'm from, this is what we do.
Right.
I used to say midgets all the time.
Mm.
It wasn't until I got around a little person that I found out that the word midget is looked at as a slur, like it.
Well, you are height, though. You can't use that kind of slur.
I would be offended too if I was a little person and
somebody your height was saying that to me.
Well, I'm just saying. The fact that I didn't know and I found out from being around someone that made me aware gave me the opportunity to change.
You was around little people?
I was around some little people and I said it. And I got a look, and I was like, what's wrong?
I really hope they get offended at you by this interview.
I corrected
initially. I would love to hear your apology,
too. There ain't going to be one. Listen, I corrected it.
But you know what I don't like? When you tell people that something's offensive like that, the word is offensive, but they're like, well, why? I think little person sounds worse. Like, I've had this argument. I'm like,
you can't
it's
do
not
that.
About you,
yes,
though.
You can't
it's not
do
about
that.
What you think.
You can't do that. Once you are made aware and then you have the knowledge of it, then you don't have no excuse.
Right.
But I'm saying you don't know until you know.
Right. Yeah.
People forget that you gotta know.
Back to the movie. Harvey Weinstein originally was attached to this movie, and they had to clear all of that up and get him off as executive producer and all of that. But sometimes things happen that affect people later, like how men talk to women if they're in a position of power that might prevent that woman then from getting further in their career. That could have been something that happened back then.
Yes.
But has affected a woman to this day. How should that be handled?
At one point, the movie was trying to be halted in general. And people had to be made aware that everybody isn't him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a crew of people, hundreds of people that worked on the film. The product shouldn't be a part of his consequence.
Right.
When you say the people that were affected by those things that from them and how times are, of course, different and looked at, but still carry that burden, I think that light needed to be shined.
Mm-hmm.
So people that were affected by it, especially women, felt comfortable about getting that off their chest. I can only imagine what it's like when you finally say it to go, I can now breathe.
Right.
So I support and stand with it. And I think, you know, There's some that have tried to take advantage of that and get in on that train that may not have been in the same level, you know, as some of these women that truly were affected. But I'm glad that the people that did decide to stand up stood up.
What is the proper way to handle old comments, old tweets, old jokes? What's the proper way to handle that?
There is no proper way. If you've changed and you move on, then you've done. I got nothing to say, guys. What do you want me to say?
Well, you're an executive, so you give talent opportunities.
CEO.
Chief executive, I'm sorry. Would you ever not give someone an opportunity based off old tweets or old comments or old jokes?
No. But why? I'm judging you from high school. I'm going back to your college days when you were supposed to be stupid. What am I?
Does it depend on what those comments were, though?
If you're a hypocrite and you can't say to yourself, it's like having a child. Mm-hmm. Your child comes home and your child got in trouble in school for cheating on the test. You're pissed off. But you're not gonna look at yourself and go, God damn,
I did that.
I did the same
Yeah.
I did the same shit. I cheated on the test. Now, yeah, you may not say it to your kid because you gotta be firm and stay on your ground and make sure he understands it's wrong or she understands it's wrong, but you did it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like everybody makes the same dumb shit because you're supposed to do dumb shit. That's the only way that you get to be an adult, a polished adult, is to do dumb shit.
All right, we got more with Kevin Hart when we come back. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Kevin Hart. How did you look at the R. Kelly docuseries, especially with you having a daughter?
I talked to my daughter immediately after.
You and me both.
And
my
son.
Think about it? What did you say?
I talked to my daughter immediately after first.
Mm-hmm.
And I made sure that she understood that I'm not just her father, I'm her friend.
Right.
And I said, it's very important for you to feel comfortable talking to me about anything. I said, some of the most uncomfortable things that you may not want to tell anybody, you can always tell me. Because the scariest thing is your child going through that.
Absolutely.
That's the scariest thing in the world. To not know and find out at a later age that your child goes, when I was 12 or 13, Uncle Rodney or Aunt Judy did what? And you didn't know? I'm not capable of having that information. And going through the system and getting correct. There's no shot. It's over. Because there's no way that I'm not going
to take action.
Because that's my child.
Right.
And I'm also an example to my kids that we ain't gonna be perfect. You see your dad firsthand up. It's the nature of life, honey. It's the nature of life, son. But the one thing that we're always gonna do is we're gonna confront it. We're gonna talk. This family is for real. We're gonna keep this together. So I want her to have that understanding, especially. Then I have my son have it. And then I say, y'all bond is closer than mine's to y'all's. Mm-hmm. I know you're cussing every day you leave this house. Both of you. I know that you got secrets that you're sharing with each other. That's fine. But when one of those secrets that y'all telling each other get too deep, then one of y'all better tell on the other and y'all better come to me. Or your mother. Somebody got to know.
After seeing the victims, do you think it's appropriate for comedians to make jokes about the R. Kelly situation?
Comedy is comedy, man. You can find a joke in anything.
Yeah. Cause we talked to one of the victims, Lisa. What was her name?
Lisa Van Allen.
She was saying it was frustrating, like watching Dave Chappelle pee on you, or just hearing people joke about R. Kelly. And in my mind, I'm thinking we just clowning R. Kelly. But like she said, there was people who were really getting peed on.
Once again, I understand that, but you have to also understand the mindset of a comedian does not go that far. It's not as in depth as you think it is. You know, with who am I hurting? Who am I affecting? And what's going to happen? What's the change? That's not the mindset of a comedian. It's, oh, shit. What the f***? Hey, oh, you think it's funny real quick?
Yeah.
I'm going to try tonight.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't get a laugh, it's, damn, that was ass.
If somebody's like, that's funny, but I don't know if you should say it?
I mean, you don't know that you're doing it by, you on your notepad by yourself. Everything with comedy is a gamble. You throwing a dice every time.
Did you have ill will and maliciousness when you did the Cowboys and Indians party?
Yo, I'm telling you the f***ing thing about that. I had no idea until I got home. And the crazy thing is, it's a party planner that put it together for my wife.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kids. It's one-year-old kids. They weren't running around doing anything offensive.
But no, a lot of Native Americans were offended.
Here's the thing. You're offended, but they're offended as if there's another thought that went behind
it. Like you purposely did.
Yes,
like
the intent wasn't.
There's no intent behind it at all.
A lot of them felt like you apologized to the LGBT community, but not them.
I'm saying, what do I say? Hey guys, I'm sorry for a party that I knew nothing about that got done that I got home and saw. You guys think that I'm planning the kids' parties?
Mm-hmm.
Does that with my time? You think I'm doing my son's 1 year old party?
So you can't apologize unless you know what you're apologizing.
What am I doing? Like what am I doing? What did I do?
So next year, no more Cowboys and Indians.
I told her don't have another theme party at all.
And if you're apologizing to bitches and you're apologizing to the LGBT community.
Little people, you don't apologize.
You keep on calling
little people.
You know what? To Native Americans that were offended by the party that was thrown for my son, I apologize.
So are you going to host the Oscars now?
I'm not saying about that, man. Okay.
How you just step all over the Native American apology with your stupid ass Oscar question?
Yeah, you know what? Let me give my sincere Native American apology. I apologize to the Native Americans that may have been offended by the theme that was put behind my one-year-old's party. It was not done with malicious intent.
Boom.
Educational experience.
Are you afraid that as you continue to grow and control your own destiny the way that you are, you get bigger than life?
I'm afraid that I'm gonna run out of apologies. I'm afraid that it's gonna
Don't mess up his sincere apology.
I'm not. I'm just afraid like that if you have to keep doing it, like at some point, you know, like what is gonna be deemed okay and not?
There's just one more apology you gotta do.
Which one? Oh,
there was a lady that said she went to your show.
Oh God.
And she said she needed her cell phone. To check her level of
sugar.
Okay. And she said that she was kicked out of the show.
Apologize to everybody with diabetes right now, Kev.
I apologize.
She did call here and say that.
I apologize for you not being able to get to your phone at my show to check your sugar level.
So what are people supposed to do that are diabetic at your
show? I'm
going
to be honest with you, Ange. I don't know. Ange, there's signs all over the place that say don't pull your phone out.
I know.
There's also, let me tell you what else there are. There's announcements in the beginning of the show. If you have diabetes and you have to check your sugar level, you don't have to do it right there. You can get up and walk in the tunnel and check your sugar level.
What if I'm already dizzy?
You can get up. You can get up. Here's the thing, man, with these people will find some to complain about, man. There's always a flip side.
Sometimes it's hard when there's a lot of people and you're in the middle.
Get your ass up. For the last time, I say I've addressed everything. I addressed this one more time. I've definitely said it several times. Bet you can't find tape of that either. Okay? You cannot treat comedy like music. Music, you can hear the same song over and over again. When you hear a joke, you heard it. It ain't funny after you heard it. If I'm touring and I'm going city to city, country to country, I'm going all over the globe, if you're putting up my material, how am I supposed to perform for these other people that have paid good money to see the live show? That's why I'm so strict with the cell phone policy. How do people not understand that?
Oh, I understand.
I can't tour.
You didn't.
I can't film a special and the special be a big deal if you put the jokes up online.
Well, Kev, you already got enough money. I got to get these likes and these retweets.
Well, that's my point. The likes and the retweets.
Kevin Hart
what about
joke?
Me?
Yes, this is the likes and the retweets.
Kick your ass out.
Are up the rally, which is why I boot you. I boot you, and I give you money back. I have no problem with giving you money back.
He don't care who you are.
I boot you. No. Envy is still upset to this day.
He never get over
that. He got thrown
that's
out
why
of
he
the goddamn show.
Trying to put it on the woman with diabetes.
It ain't got nothing to do with her. It's got to do with him. Yeah. You know, Kev, so are you going to keep throwing people out is what I'm asking. That's what it boils down to.
Let's not forget the cold. Balls show also because we haven't even addressed that.
Wait, let me finish this. Uh-oh. I apologize to the woman. I know she's suffering from diabetes. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry that it ended in a bad way. There was no malicious intent behind her getting put out. We didn't notice she had diabetes. So in the future, people that do come to my show, even though my tour is now over, when I tour again, if you have diabetes, you're not put in a place to where you can't treat yourself. Just step out and just do it in the hall.
Speaking of treating, them, you should pass out candy for those whose sugar may be low.
Okay.
Just in case.
You know what? I will put peppermints under the seats.
There you go.
So people can reach and grab a peppermint. I don't know what to do anymore, man.
All right, we got more with Kevin Hart. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Kevin Hart. His movie, Upside, is out right now.
Number one movie in the country.
Number one movie in the country. Charlamagne?
Do you think you're getting too big, Kev? I mean, listen, I think you should go out there and get everything God has planned for you.
And he plans
but do you ever think that your star is just getting too big?
He's not going to stifle himself.
I'm not going to stop or slow down. I start filming Jumanji February 1st. I'm about to do another movie. I told you, Fatherhood. Secret Life of Pets 2 comes out. Going to production, pre-production on another comedy that we're developing in a heartbeat. Developing a TV series for myself that's going to shock people and f*** people up. Like, I'm going to do, like, one season of something just unexpected that's going to blow people away. So my goal is for 2019 to be the shock factor. And by 20... 21, I'm going to go back to stand up and I'm going to put out just a very, I'm going to put out a very controversial hour of comedy.
Ooh.
I think that's what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to go, I'm going to flip from good guy and I'm going to go bad guy mm-hmm. in comedy because I feel like it's needed. We got to, like, I just want to wake people up.
I love that you know what you're doing in 2021 already.
I really do. That's great. Playing that far ahead.
Has this experience over the past couple weeks changed your opinion of Hollywood any?
That's a very good question, Charlamagne. I'm going to choose to not answer that question. Mm. But definitely, you know, you can look at things through a different lens. Mm. I've been enlightened.
Now, I was very relieved because originally when you were going to come up here, they were trying to do this extravagant plan where we all had to sit in freezing cold tubs.
I was going
to
do it. I was going to do it.
So I agreed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you? That said you was the only one that didn't want to do it.
That's not true.
I
said yes, mm-hmm. reluctantly, but I did say yes, and then they said logistically it wasn't going to work out, and I said, whew.
No, it was too long. I said we can't sit in them tubs that long because y'all, these interviews go. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not staying in that tub that long.
Oh, so
like
you don't be in there when you do call the ball, you don't be in there that long?
I got to get in and out.
Shrinkage.
Oh, got you.
Well, shrinkage.
Know, that's just, I don't think that's neither here nor there. I think they were focusing on the wrong things. But there's definitely times where I don't get up in the camera after we're done. I get up and turn my back immediately to the camera. All right, give me a second, everybody. But the show is dope as hell. We should find a way for you guys to do it because the show's only getting bigger. It's only getting more successful. I've been focusing on athletes, but I think I'm gonna start and go out to other individuals to share. It'd be dope to flip it and interview y'all mm-hmm. in the tub. Just put y'all in one tub.
No.
Yeah. Nah, that's
one
not.
Tub. That'd be dope.
Somebody in here farts a lot, Envy.
Envy, you gotta save money.
No, I'm not sitting in the tub with somebody farting.
We talked about one of your worst shows one time, and you told us about somebody throwing a chicken bone and hitting you in the head.
True story, Atlantic City. Sweet cheeks. Never forget it.
Now, Tiffany Haddish had a bad show New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Did you call your little sister after that?
Called her right after.
And what did she say? What was the conversation like?
I called her. I jumped in her ass a little bit. Told her that, you know, this isn't anybody else's fault. This is you. It's your job right now to be prepared. It's happening very fast for Tiffany.
Very fast.
I just want her to be aware of how fast it's happening just to make sure that you don't overextend yourself to where you're not giving yourself the best opportunity to be great. Mm-hmm. You know, when things are moving at the pace that they're moving, sometimes you forget the work that has to go into some stuff. It was just me reiterating what I know she already knows mm-hmm. and, you know, just making sure that she's okay from it. You know, unfortunately it happened. Can't do nothing about it. So it's time to move on and just make sure that your upcoming tour is a great one.
And make people put their cameras away at your shows.
Right, I was thinking that same thing.
Because I'm sitting there like, no disrespect to the dude, I don't know the dude. That's kind of like you invading my territory. You kind of should have got swung on by my security or at least grabbed up or something.
Yeah, that was very disrespectful.
Word is born, yo.
Once again, you're living
for
at a time.
For people who haven't seen what happened, explain what happened.
This guy got up and he was filming himself and he was like, you know, kind of going in on her and it went viral, but it was just very rude to do that to somebody.
Well, you're living in a time where negativity is celebrated.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Last time you came up here, we were talking about a bunch of other comedians. Have y'all met up with those other comedians and squashed the beef and had conversations?
Talks to nobody.
No. Okay.
Talks to nobody.
They not getting no apology. Huh?
I'm talking to nobody.
You sure you don't want to apologize?
Everybody else can get an apology with them.
I ain't talking to nobody. Me and Mike Blackson cool, though. Me and Mike.
Me and Mike
bumped in each other and we talked.
Not Epps. Not.
I'm not talking to nobody.
You know, there's one thing I wanted to ask you because I saw you on Ellen and Ellen wanted you to host Oz,
right?
And you was like, you kind of was like, maybe I'll think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's a definite no. What changed between?
He said you don't want to talk about it no more. You just gonna keep asking him.
I'm not asking him about it. I'm gonna say what changed between Ellen and that.
I like what you did there. Like
he's took a roundabout.
He's asking about it, but he's making it look like he's not asking about it, but he's asking about it. Ellen is one of my closest friends, and when you see a person that's going to bat for you at that level, you can't not be blown away by that. Mm-hmm. So me saying I would think about it then was a real reaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't given a definite answer then, but she did make me think from a different perspective, mm-hmm. seeing what she said and how she said it and just her love, you know, her love for me.
What made you call Don Lemon?
I ain't talking about it.
Oh, okay.
I ain't talking about it. I just didn't like what Don Lemon said.
The Twitter apologies or explanations on Ellen have fallen flat. And now you want the conversation to end. And someone like Kevin Hart, with one of the biggest megaphones in the world, can be a leader. He can help change homophobia in the black community. Something Kevin's old Twitter jokes addressed, but in the wrong way.
I called him, and then we talked on the phone.
But y'all good now.
Me and Don Lemon are fine now.
Yeah.
We're fine now.
You said we're fine.
We're fine now. We don't have a problem with Don Lemon.
You want to apologize to him?
I don't have to apologize to Don Lemon. I said Don Lemon. I didn't say nothing to Don Lemon. Me and Don Lemon had an off-the-record conversation on the phone, and I made sure that he understand my point of view, and he said some things that made me understand his point of view. Mm-hmm. And we ended up getting off the phone with a mutual understanding of one another and each other's sides, and there was respect.
You know, I think people don't understand about you, like, you know, like they say they want you to be an ally to the LGBT community, but you're really an ally to everyone.
I think so. I don't think you can fake good. Either you're a good person or you're not. You can't be a person that stands on a platform of inspiring and trying to motivate all to be the best version of themselves. The only person I can say does it on a high level in front of a lens is Dwayne. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is the only other person I know that every day publicly, hey, everybody, be great, love, give somebody a hug. Hey, listen, National Women's Day. Go out there. Let a woman know that you love her.
Is that his voice?
Hey, fella, he talks stupid. This isn't his voice. he do this dumb shit, though. He do like, he got a lot of superstar shit with him now. Like,
the
eye, like, you know, shit like that when you talk to him. What the fuck are you doing, man? Hey, look at me. Keep your head up. And he does shit right here. But he's a genuine good dude that tries his best to put his energy out on others. Mm-hmm. I'm the same way. If you were a person that was divisive, then I would understand it. But I'm not. There's not a divisive. Like, where? How do you even associate that with Kevin Hart?
So, what's the upside to all this, Kev?
The upside is just go see my movie, man.
Out right now.
Go see the movie.
Definitely go see it.
Go see the movie in theaters. It doesn't disappoint.
Yes, you'll definitely enjoy it.
I will say, what doesn't break you makes you stronger, man. Keep your shoulders up. Regardless of what you're going through in life, there's always something worse. Keep that mindset. It'll make you smile, regardless of what it is, man.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
We appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Kevin Hart, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, guys.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip.
Gossip.
The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, for all you fans of Drake, you might be excited to know that there are rumors that might come about soon that Drake is going to be doing a residency in Vegas. So he performed in Vegas on Thursday night, and he said that might not be the last that they'll see of him. He said, when I came back, I thought I'd be at T-Mobile Arena, but I'll be back here at XS all year. You'll have a lot of chances to see me. Would you be excited for that?
A Drake residency? I mean, I'm not a huge Drake fan, but I'm sure he's got tons of fans that will be
excited.
That'd
be great for Vegas, though. It'd be great for Vegas. A lot of people who are Drake fans that don't want to, you know, pay for concert prices can actually get up close and personal and when I'm at those clubs.
You know what's crazy? I feel like I read an article after one of his albums came out, and he was talking about why he does so much, like music, like the slow songs and stuff like that. And he said because one day he wanted to do a residency in Vegas. Yeah, this was a while ago I read this article.
All right. Well, he also posted on Instagram a picture of him performing in Vegas, and he put new home. So, you know, looks like it's going to happen soon. Now, there's also rumors that The Weeknd is taking a shot at Drake on his new song, Lost in the Fire. Let's see what you think about this.
And I just want a baby with the right one. I just want a baby. 'Cause I can never be the one to hide one.
All right. So if you didn't hear that, he said, I just want a baby with the right one because I would never be the one to hide one.
Why would y'all think, first of all, why would y'all think Drake is the only person hiding their child? And number two, it's the difference between not wanting everybody in your business and hiding your child. It's people out there that's really hiding children. Okay, I don't think Drake's like hiding his child.
I guess it's probably because of the Pusha T's, you are hiding a child, and then people kind of use that now.
Yeah.
And so that's what the speculation
is. It could be a shot.
Is.
It could be a shot.
Yeah,
I see it.
But there's plenty of people out here hiding their children.
Listen, I'm letting y'all know. That's
it could be
what the
a shot.
Getting your side chick pregnant. You don't want your wife to find out. You got to get your side chick out of town. It happens all the time.
That could be a shot.
So you think it's not?
Or you? I mean, it doesn't.
You can
have
understand
to be.
The speculation.
I can understand the
okay,
speculation.
Okay, that's all. It's just a rumor. Yes. All right, now let's discuss Lisa Van Allen. She called up here to the Breakfast Club. She came out in 2008 to talk about R. Kelly and his alleged abuse. Well, now she was on Red Table Talk with Jada Pinkett Smith, Jada's daughter Willow, and her mother, Adrienne Banfield Jones. And here is what Lisa Van Allen had to say.
We didn't expect it to be this powerful.
This impactful.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, I came out in 2008 and nobody heard me.
Yeah.
So it's awesome to be heard now.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm so happy that you guys could be brave enough to do it this way.
Exactly.
And that, you know, because you guys deserve it.
Yes.
And I'm just so sorry. I'm sorry you didn't get it sooner.
Now, Jada also says that she also feels complicit for ignoring all these allegations. Just as recently as September, she and Will Smith used I Believe I Can Fly for a video of him bungee jumping. So she was like, I too was complicit in this whole situation.
I wonder what the ultimate goal is for the R. Kelly situation. It's like, I know, you know, they brought awareness to it with the documentary, but what if there's no legal ramifications? What if people still keep going to his shows, buying his music? What if things just keep rolling for R. Kelly?
It'll slow down. It has slowed down.
I think that things have already slowed down
absolutely
for him, son. You know, the label is saying they're freezing his music right now. They put his music on hold. Also, he was trying to get a permit to do a concert. He was supposed to be doing this concert in Illinois, and they actually did not grant him that permit in Illinois. In Illinois, they denied that permit for a spring break jam concert. It was supposed to be in April at the Illinois State Fairgrounds. He was the host of it, but they did deny that application due to security concerns.
No, so promoters, no promoters are booking him. They're going to stifle him.
Just so make the ultimate goal is cancellation.
Cancel him. Mute him. Yep.
All right. Now, remember, Nick Cannon and Damon Dash were talking about R. Kelly and the Jay-Z album. Here's what was said.
At what age was Foxy Brown signed?
Yo, don't beat around the bush. Say what you want
to
say.
I'm just asking.
What do you mean by that question?
I was just asking.
What are you insinuating?
I'm not insinuating. I just asked the question.
I
thought Foxy was like 16. That's all I'm saying.
It sounds like you.
All I'm saying is in this industry, when we live in these glass houses.
It seems like you got a question for Jay. Ask him. I ain't got to do with that.
Now, in this interview, he also says that he looked the other way when it came to Jay-Z and R. Kelly collaborating. Well, now Memphis Bleek is actually saying that's not true.
Everybody know I f***s with Dame Dash. This is my guy, Rockefeller history. But somebody got to tell he's bugging. And then you're going to really say, you wasn't down with f***s. You right. Was opposed to it. F***ing lying.
Well, Bleek would know he was there.
Yeah, he was definitely there.
That was the Duce Friday podcast, too, with Rel Carter and Myth Bleek. Drop on the clues bombs for Rel and Bleek.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Charlamagne.
Yes.
Who you giving that donkey to?
Oh, man, I need our guy, French Montana, to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a little word with him.
What French do now?
Yeah, I mean, it's a teachable moment for a lot of people.
All right. Yeah. We'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed up.
So like a donkey.
Yeehaw.
Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Monday, January 14th goes to my guy, French Montana. Let me be clear, French is my guy. But Donkey of the Day does not discriminate. Now, on Saturday night, French Montana was leaving the L.A. Coliseum after the Rams game, and he got ran up on by TMZ, and they asked him about the situation concerning America's favorite pedophile, allegedly, R. Kelly. Always got to say allegedly because that guy loves to sue. French was asked about R. Kelly, and this was his response.
He already told you my mind was telling me no.
Where you at?
And my body.
He did say that.
Yeah. He wanted us.
So you kind of always knew?
Yeah, man, I just think, they don't let nobody, you know, have their legendary moments, man. I feel like they did Michael Jackson like that. They did R. Kelly like that. All the greats went down like that, man. Let somebody enjoy their legacy, man. Whatever happened, happened, man.
Now, artists, comedians, public figures have to be smarter when talking to these outlets who have these on-the-street camera people. I don't care if it's TMZ, Baller Alert, whoever. When you're coming out of a venue and you see them, you don't have to make a statement, especially when it comes to topics as serious as the Robert Sylvester Kelly situation. And please, if you are under the influence of any drugs or alcohol, do not talk to these people. Sounds like French was slurred a little bit if you ask me.
Yep.
Now, if you listen to the breakdown of this French Montana audio, it starts off fine. Quick little joke at R. Kelly's expense. I know. People don't like R. Kelly jokes because people feel like you're making light of the situation, so I understand. But then he starts talking about R. Kelly's legendary moments. French, it's hard to appreciate R. Kelly's legendary musical moments when the art that R. Kelly made is a direct reflection of his crimes. And a person like R. Kelly can't enjoy their legacy when they have used the power and influence of that legacy to manipulate and cause trauma to so many people. Now, this whole statement from French is pretty bad, but this is where he really messed up. This last line right here.
Whatever happened, happened, man.
French, I know you ain't worried about nothing.
Ain't worried about nothing.
But when it comes to things like statutory rape, abuse of women, you can't simply say whatever happened, happened, because you wouldn't feel like that if it was a woman you loved. Now, French has cleared it up. He posted on Twitter, "Let me be clear. My heart is with the victims. I never thought the people I looked up to as a kid who sang and danced and gave me hope to become a superstar would become drug addicts, child molesters, and rapists. I am hoping we as a culture create better leaders. We need them." Great statement, but sadly, the cleanup is never as loud as the mess. But that's a great statement. See what happens when you actually worry about things, French?
Ain't worried about nothing.
Okay, maybe you're not worried, but when you're home and you've had time to think about the question, see how clearer and more focused the answer is? Every public figure in their team needs to remember one thing when they have these cameras in front of them. Measure twice, cut once. And by all means, don't measure at all when you're drunk. Please let the Hamiltones give French Montana the biggest hee-haw.
Oh, now you are the donkey of the day.
Those ones you regret in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
All right.
That's all.
Thank you for that donkey today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we come back, let's talk texting. Now, Angelique was talking about this article she read about texting people.
Yes, in the early stages of dating, they're saying that you cannot send 3 texts in a row. They said that's just too much, and that actually is borderline harassment. So imagine you send a text, the person doesn't answer, then you send another text, they still don't answer. They're saying do not send that 3rd text.
Forget dating. Don't be texting me 3 times in a row for nothing.
My son does that all the time, and I ignore him all the time. Dad.
That's your kid.
Dad,
what
don't
we
matter.
Talking about?
Dad,
somebody that dad, you don't know like dad, that. Like, say dad, you go on a
dad.
Date.
I don't know him like that. Dad. Stop texting me. Don't
you know what I hate? I hate when people text me question marks.
Yeah.
I hate
no,
that too.
Oh, no, this is what I hate. I hate when somebody texts you, and then they question the thing they text you.
Oh, they put the little question mark on their text?
Yeah. Like that. Like, oh, I hate that.
Dad. Yes.
There's some rules to this texting, you guys, when it comes to dating in this day and age. So we're going to talk about that.
Dad. All right. 800, what's the question? 800-585-1051. What are we asking people?
We're doing rules of texting, but is it too much in the early stages of dating to send 3 texts to a person unanswered?
So you text one time, they ignore you.
They don't answer.
You text again,
like, hey, you there?
They ignore you. Then you
text
the 3rd time, you thirsty. Damn.
Or your thumbs is dehydrated
harassment?
As hell.
All right. 800-585-1051. Call us now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about texting. It's an article that Angela Yee read. Now, what did the article say? What was it talking about?
Yes, the article was in Men's Health, and it was saying that 3 texts could be borderline harassment in the early stages of dating. If someone's not responding, you send that 1st text, then you send the 2nd text. Don't send that 3rd text out.
Yeah, I agree. I think the 1st text you send out to somebody, and then just in case they didn't get it or they were too busy or maybe they were sleeping or they just overlooked it, the 2nd text is the reminder text. The 3rd text, you're thirsty.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is the same. Like, and it's not even about dating. Like, don't text me 3 times in a row if we don't know each other like that. Don't text me a question and then emphasize your question with a question mark.
Well, now, is that a text when somebody does the emphasis on it?
Yes, because that's annoying. Because it's making it seem like, because you can tell if somebody read your text or not, right?
If you have that alert on.
Yeah, you gotta have that alert on. My daughter and my son turns the alert on my phone,
yeah.
So they know if I read it or not. That's why he keeps going, Dad, stop texting me.
Well, I think that's what they know. They know when you see it, and then when they know that you saw it, then they emphasize it with a question mark again. That's annoying.
I hate when people send a bunch of question marks or when they write, hello. That's annoying to me.
And by the way, if you really need to get in touch with me that bad, this is what I hate. I hate when my actual friends do that. Yo, you there?
Hey, Charlamagne.
Call me.
Everybody, Angela.
Hold on, mama. I'm sorry, mama. Hold on.
Let's talk about texting.
That was mad rude.
Yeah, that was mad rude. You see us
text us.
I do the Yoda. I'll be like, yo. I do that all the time.
She's like, want to get in here.
What's up, Kato?
Yeah, y'all crazy.
What's
but
up?
No, I was coming on just to talk about it because, you know, I feel like this. People love to leave others on read, but then later down the line when it's their time, the same people gonna leave their obituary on read. You know what I'm saying? It's like everybody.
Whoa! God damn!
How did somebody just die?
You gonna leave my whole obituary on read just because I reply your text message?
I'm not that type of person. Damn. Of course, I'm about love, but I feel like everybody in the society has gotten so caught up in being like so arrogant and self-serving. It's like, you know, they just leave people a read just to say it. They don't care about people checking up on them. It's like, okay, 3 text messages. That's not awful. It's like, you know, we know how text messages work. Sometimes they don't go through. So somebody's like, hey, you know, mm-hmm. hey, you know, what's up? What's going on?
If it doesn't go through, that little red thing shows up to show you it didn't go through.
You know it doesn't go through.
But we're talking about dating.
Stuff. Like, I'm on Android. I have a Samsung. I don't know what y'all talking about.
Okay, but let's just say we're talking about dating, not somebody that you know well, someone that you went on one or two dates with.
Okay, so be real and tell them, hey, you know, I'm not really feeling it like that. You know, then put them in the friend zone politely. Stop, like, doing people's feelings like that.
I'd rather not respond.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not gonna respond.
I'd rather just not respond.
Yeah, you'll get the message.
We don't even know each other.
Well, you won't get the message.
She may not get the message because she got an Android.
Yeah.
It's quite possible she may not get the message.
You know, I mean, then again, I don't know. I've been married for so long, so I don't know how it is out here. I heard people are crazy. You know, dating is just, you know, wild stuff. My girlfriends tell me all types of stuff, so I can imagine. But I just feel like, you know, put out what you want. The energy you put out is what you receive in this universe.
Hey,
you know?
I understand that you're married too, but I think you're getting a little too comfortable by having an Android. I think that you need to.
I am, Charlamagne. Listen, I've had it since it came out. Okay, and so it's like I feel like I'm gonna be an old little lady if I get an iPhone. Like, how did you do this? You know, I'm not gonna be able to know how to use it. I'm good.
Tell Charlamagne stop front because he just got rid of his Android. Maybe
that is
two
not
years,
true.
Two,
I've had an iPhone for over 10. I've had an iPhone for at least 10 years.
I have an Android and an iPhone.
You definitely had an Android.
I both have an Android. Everybody be dogging our camera pictures, talk about they look like GTA format and everything.
That's a fact.
Like, my pictures come out good. I don't know what everybody's saying.
Bye, okay. Mama. Hello, who's this?
Lee, what's up?
Lee, what's up?
Nothing much, man. I just
That's my last
on
name.
Twitter and
Can you stop Lee cursing, Lee? Can you stop cursing?
Yes, sir.
You sound like the type of person that texts somebody 3-4 times.
Nah, I'm like the type of person to block someone after the third text, man.
Still block somebody. It's that bad.
Man, yeah. Like, honestly, if you texted me more than two times, I'm not trying to talk to you.
Damn.
I'm trying to make a sandwich. I'm trying to talk to
Blunt.
I'm trying to talk to Angela Yee, you know what I'm saying?
So somebody's texting you right now.
I'm blocking them. I ain't even replying. I'm talking to y'all.
All right, Lee.
Oh, my goodness.
Ain't nobody texting Lee.
Nah, nobody at all. Peaches.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Peaches.
How are you guys doing?
How many times is too many times to text somebody without getting a reply?
I feel personally 3 times is a little too much, especially if you guys just like first met. Even if it's urgent, I feel like that's too much because, you know, that may make it seem like you're a little crazy or thirsty.
Yep.
Or you're
deranged.
What if you like him? Is it cute?
Even if he's cute, I will kind of wait because it's like if I just meet somebody on the first month and they text me 3 or 4 times, I'm going to be like, wait a minute. Let me kind of red flag this because I don't know what they have going on.
Not much if they have time to text you 3 or 4 times.
Exactly. Like, do you work? Or what's going on? Like, you know, they may be a little psychotic. They might be sitting outside my window. You know, people are crazy nowadays, so you have to be careful. But I just feel like 3 times is too much. Maybe once, maybe twice. Or just text them and call them. If they don't want to talk to you, then don't.
Have a little pride.
Thank you.
Have a little pride. Yeah, don't seem desperate.
All right. 800-585-1051. How many times is too many to text somebody without getting a reply?
Little thirsty-ass thumbs.
Call us up right
little
now.
Little dehydrated digit fingers.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, we're talking texting. How many times is too many times to text somebody before getting a reply? Now, I think after twice, if they don't reply, that's it. And if they text 3 times, they're crazy.
I think 3 times is ridiculous. I think when they emphasize a question they ask you with a question, you got to text them back and say, why are your thumbs so thirsty?
I think just don't answer at all. I'm really the queen of that, not answering. You know what I think is great? When somebody texts you, they check in with you, and then if you don't respond, they'll give it a couple of weeks and then be like, hey, just checking back in, and you can't get mad that they didn't respond. Like, don't have an attitude or get angry. Like, oh, you don't see me texting you. I took you out, and you ain't like that, and now you went, like, relax.
My God.
Now you can forget it.
That's the answer to how to recognize dehydration symptoms.
My goodness. Okay. Hello, who's this?
Yes, this is Chris from the Bronx.
Chris, man, why your phone sound like that, Chris?
Sound like what? What's wrong with
it? Android.
damn, man. Nah, ain't no on my Android, man. Relax.
Damn, you do have an Android. All right. Now, we're talking texting. How many times is too many to text somebody before they reply?
I would say, like, about 5. Like, you know,
oh, my God.
Look, this is why I say that. Because why give somebody your number if you're not going to reply the first text? You know what I'm saying? Like, the 3 is like, all right, maybe, you know, that's a little too much. But if you could have been in the tunnel, that's a loophole. Like, if you got the number while you was in a tunnel in a train station, and you text one time, sometimes it texts three times. So that's why I say five.
Five times is a lot.
I prefer three strikes you out. You want to play basketball. You want to foul me six times before you get kicked out the game.
I think two times is enough.
Look.
You thirsty, bro.
Like, it really does depend. Like, texting, I think you should call, but if you do text, I would say no more than five times.
Five is a lot, man. That's too many. Hello, who's this?
Jessica.
Hey, Jessica. We're talking texting. How many times is too many to text somebody before they reply?
Honestly, I think in dating, I don't think I would date a texter at all. I think, like, when you establish a relationship, texting is fine. But while you're dating, that's not even a way of getting to know the next person. It's kind of like, where are you at? Come over.
How old are you? 40 what?
I'm 30.
Oh, you're only 30?
No, she said, I'm sorry.
Oh,
did she say 30?
You said you're 30?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, you just got old school values.
Yeah, you know, come on.
I get it.
Okay, all right. Thank you, mama.
Thank you, bye.
I don't believe she's 30, though. I hear about 43 in her throat.
All right, what's the moral of the story, guys?
The moral of the story
is...
a
little pride.
The moral of the story is three texts is a symptom of dehydration in adults. All right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Three strikes, right. You're out.
Okay, you're out.
Three back-to-back texts is a symptom of dehydration in adults.
I agree,
right?
With you.
Little thirsty-ass thumbs.
After two, and you don't get a reply, give it up. Or block them. All right, now we got rumors on the way?
Yes, let's talk about Kanye West. He wants a giant dome. Find out what he's going to do because he didn't get it.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
I had a dream about Offset and Cardi B last night. And I don't know. It was like Offset and Cardi B. And
you kinky.
We were in like the single wide trailer I grew up in.
What else happened?
I don't remember.
What was you wearing?
Shut up.
All right, well, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk about this group that has breakup rumors.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
So here's a tweet and delete. Over the weekend, Slim Jimmy from Ray Shermer tweeted out, "I'm not Ray Shermer, I'm Slim Jimmy, and I'm a sink or swim by myself." Then he put, "Not Sherm Life." And then he put, "Y'all won, it's a wrap." And then he tweeted, "Y'all still got your man Sway. Y'all a beast, great." Now, after that, Ray Shermer's account, which is the two of them together, posted, "Brothers gonna be brothers, it's Sherm Life forever." And he deleted some of those tweets. The only tweet he left still up is, "I bought my mama $1 million crib off my work." And it seems like he was answering people on Twitter after that. He said, "A little deeper than that, but you trolls gonna troll. Get back to work, I'm not drunk."
What reason would they have to be beefing? Like, Ray Shermer is a dope group.
And I emphasize
group because they're both dope together. And they're both dope apart as well. But, like, what issue would they have to be making?
I got into a little argument. You know, things go too far every once in a while.
Now, what he didn't like was Trippie Redd said, "Nobody listens to Slim Jimmy anyway."
That's not true, by the way.
And Slim Jimmy responded, "He's Sway's offspring."
Slim Jimmy is the personality of that group. I mean, don't get me wrong, Sway Lee is the... Jimmy's talented too, but Sway Lee is like the person that everybody gravitates towards as far as the sound, but Jimmy is the personality of that group.
You need both of them.
Think about all the interviews we've done with Ray Shermer. Who was the standout in those interviews? Jimmy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Always.
All right, now Missy Elliott, congratulations. She is the first female rapper inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame.
Nice.
She's only the third rapper to be given that honor, and this happened on Saturday. Now, Jermaine Dupri was inducted, and Jay-Z was the first rapper that was inducted in 2017.
Very deserving. Drop on a clues bomb for Missy Misdemeanor Elliott.
Absolutely.
She posted, "I want to congratulate all the amazing songwriters who have been inducted into the 2019 Songwriters Hall of Fame. Also, those who were nominated because their body of work is amazing. I am so humbly grateful and crying tears of joy to now be inducted. Also, thank you, God."
Nothing to be humble about, Missy. You a hell of a songwriter. You
absolutely
earned it. Okay?
And a dope artist.
All right, now Stephen Colbert, 50 Cent was on with him, and he was asking 50 Cent some random questions, and one of those questions was about Ja Rule.
Okay. "Say one nice thing about Ja Rule."
"Well, he's alive."
Yo, they never gonna
That's
stop,
a beautiful
man.
Thing to say.
They never gonna stop.
That's nice.
A beautiful thing
to say. That's the only nice thing you can say about that man.
He's alive, yes. That's the best. Listen, first of all, that's what we all should be thankful for. A lot of people woke up dead this morning, okay? So that is a nice thing to say. He's alive.
But they didn't wake up dead. They didn't wake
up. You don't know that. Right. You ever died and woke up? All right, then.
Now, 50 Cent, in the meantime, also has won a $30,000 lawsuit with Tierra Marie. Now, remember, Tierra Marie was trying to sue 50 Cent for reposting explicit photos and videos of her. And she said during her press conference, I found out my boyfriend was cheating on me, so I broke up with him. Right after that, he posted a sex tape and an obscene photo of me, clearly to humiliate me. Then his good friend 50 Cent posted the obscene photo of me on his Instagram and said, get the strap. Now, 50 said that that photo and those images were widely viewable on the internet, so by the time he reposted it, it wasn't really his fault. The judge did dismiss all claims against 50 Cent and also ordered Tierra Marie to pay him $30,000 for his legal bills.
And what did 50 tell Tierra on his
Instagram? He went on social media and said, now, Tierra, you can cough up the money or you can go with R. Kelly and Ish in a bucket. LOL.
How come social media never comes to 50 Cent? There's never
they
a
do?
Call.
He don't
yes,
care.
They do.
They
do.
I've never
he
seen
just
it.
Don't care.
He don't
There's
care.
Never a call for cancellation of 50.
He don't care.
You must not
clues,
know.
Drop one of clues bombs with 50 Cent. Okay.
He don't care.
All right, Kanye West was trying to get a giant dome at Coachella. Now, what he wanted to do was get the giant dome not even on a stage, but in the middle of the grounds, and that was logistically impossible within 4 months because they would have to remove all the porta-potties, rearrange the festival grounds. So when festival organizers said it wasn't going to happen, that's when Kanye got irritated, hung up the phone, and now they can't reach him. So
he's going too far now. He wanted a dome.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, build this for me, or I'll shut things down. I wonder where he learned that neat trick from.
All right. Well, Lil Uzi Vert now has went on social media and said that he's just done. He posted on his Instagram stories, I want to take the time out to say I thank each and every one of my supporters, but I'm done with music. I deleted everything. I want to be normal. I want to wake up in 2013. You are free. Here's what else he had to say.
Y'all talking about drop something. At least I'm trying to drop something. I dropped new Paddock. Like, I didn't get a leak. I've been trying to drop something. Bro, this is my life now. You think I don't want to drop music? You just got to understand. Let me tell you something. When people don't love you, they'll hold your life if you sign a motherfucker. Hold that against you.
What?
I don't know what he's doing.
He seems a little frustrated.
What did he say?
He just seems like he's going through it. Right?
Is he saying that the label won't let him put out new music? Is that what he was trying to say?
He said he is putting stuff out. I don't know. I don't know, but hopefully he's okay. It seems like he gets emotional and everybody check on Lil Uzi Vert.
Somebody hug my sassy savage, man.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
All right, Revolt, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice mix is up next. I know a lot of you asked about the Lil Duval joint. We're going to get that on in the mix.
You finally going to play somebody's request? Huh?
Yes.
Finally?
Yes.
That's not true. One of our listeners said that he does it. He plays requests all the time.
Yes. That is not true.
That's true.
And that's what he loves about Envy.
There you go.
That's a lie, though.
That's
why,
the truth.
Why are you allowing
You just
these,
said I'm playing somebody's request.
Yes, because I requested it. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if that counts.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for Lil Duval. Pull up featuring Ty Dolla Sign.
We'll get that on in the mix, all right? So don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, shout out to Kevin Hart for joining us this morning.
Yeah, salute to Kevin Hart, man. I cannot wait to see what y'all make up to be mad at from this interview.
Are people mad?
I don't know.
No, he apologized to everybody.
Tell me tomorrow, because I don't be on social media. But
the problem is, now that he apologized to everyone for everything, everybody wants an apology. So
but, you know,
someone's going to get mad because they want an apology.
This is my thing, too, and I would love to, like, you know, I would love for somebody from the LGBT community to explain this to me. Mm. Like, what does an ally look like? Like, when you say you want Kevin Hart to be an ally, what does that consist of? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just say you want me to be something, because I could be like, all right, I'll be that. But what does that consist of? I would like to know what that allyship looks like. And not just for Kevin Hart, but just for anybody out there who may want to be an ally to the LGBT community. You know what I mean? Because in my mind, I feel like I'm an ally to the LGBT community, but maybe I'm not. I just would like to know, what does that allyship look like? Because if an apology is not enough, and you want him to do more and be an ally, as you say, what did that look like?
I guess speak out when you see injustices, support their rights for the LGBTQ community. You know, show up you need to.
I would think that's what we all do, right?
Right.
So I don't know. Like, so when you say he's not being an ally and you would like him to be, I just want to know what it looks
Educate
like.
Educate yourself and others about different things that's going on in the community.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, now you got a positive note for the people, Charlamagne.
Yes, before we get to the positive note, I want to salute everybody, man, who has been getting Shook One anxiety, playing tricks on me. When I do go on Instagram, I see everybody with their book, so I appreciate that. And the positive note is simply this: respect yourself. If you don't, others won't either. Remember, the world sees what you put out there, so hold yourself to a high standard of grace and elegance.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.